And I wanted to recap a couple of things since it's been a couple of weeks since we've been with you. I want to thank our elders for holding the fort down, and every one of you that were a part of the work here that continues on. Praise the Lord. Appreciate our preaching machine back there. Amen. And I am really greatly, I just am amazed by what the Lord's doing with our little band of people. It really is amazing that in this church we have as many preachers as we have, you know? And the truth is, there are a lot of large churches that are always, they're always looking to bring someone from the outside when a pastor needs to be somewhere else. I'm just grateful that God's covered everything for us. Amen? Amen? All right. Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 2. We're going to take a look at a couple of scriptures and kind of recap just a little bit. Verse 2 said, "Son of man, say to the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thy heart is lifted up and thou hast said, I am God, I sit in the seat of God and in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God, though thou shalt set thy heart as the heart of God." And then in verse 12, notice it says, "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Cyrus." Now the prophet was speaking by God to the prince of Tyrus, who was boasting that he was God. All right. Now he's speaking, God is speaking through the prophet to the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, "Thus saith the Lord God, thou sealeth up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God." Now, what this is showing us is that there is a double kingdom that we live and move in at every moment of our day and our existence. There is a double kingdom. Amen. Now turn with me to Daniel chapter 10. We're going to see again, I'm just showing you some scriptures that talk about this double kingdom, that when you're looking at me in this present side of our existence, at the same time in the unseen, there are beings around us, amen, good and bad. Good and bad. I've never seen my angel. I believe it was Elaine some years ago when we were at New Life, it was Elaine. Maybe you heard. Did you see the angel? You and Ed heard the angel. You heard the angel. So, but there was somebody at the same time that saw this angel, and they described him as somebody whose head touched the ceiling. Now, New Life ceiling is about, it's about 14 feet. Why don't you think about that just a minute? Big, big. Everyone say big.
Big.
Yeah, big. We know about these angels, how much power they have. At one point in time, on behalf of Israel, one angel killed 166,000 Assyrian soldiers. One angel. Everybody say one angel. Yeah. So, you know, I don't get all excited when we start talking about the spirit of darkness or demons and evil spirits, because they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And then besides that, if you didn't even have them around, God is still God.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. And he's the one that created them, right? I'm talking about the angels. Amen. Well, here in Daniel, let's read again, Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12. "Then said he, the angel, unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for of the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, to chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes," Michael was an archangel for God, All right? So Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. I want you to notice again, here's a description of the double kingdom. And you understand that because of Daniel's prayer, the angels were able to overcome the prince of Persia. Interesting to me that Persia is where most of our trouble is right now on this earth. Did you know that? Yeah, the Muslim world. Yeah, prince of Persia. I find it very interesting that if you look at the history of Persia, you'll find the same things going on then that are going on now. It hasn't changed at all. Why hasn't it changed? Because it's the same spirit ruling those people. Same spirit. Everybody say same spirit. Now again, we're looking at scripture verses that talk about this double kingdom. Now of course, we need to go to Ephesians. Turn with me there to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to look in the New Testament concerning these very same issues, this double kingdom. Ephesians chapter 6, this was the verse that that we've been studying on Wednesday nights in our video study with Rick Renner. Ephesians chapter 6, is it chapter 6? Yeah, here it is. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Where does our strength come from? It comes from the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. I am not being a bearer of bad tidings. You know that just because we're on this earth, we have to deal with good and evil. The scripture says there will be an evil day for all of us. An evil day. Pastor, what's an evil day? That's when the bad reports are really bad. Amen. That's when it looks like there's no help for you. And it feels like maybe even God is so far away, you know? That's the evil day. How are we going to stand in the evil day? We're going to stand in the evil day if we have a hold of truth. Truth. We're going to stand in the evil day if we're living truth, not compromise. We'll stand in the evil day when the Word of God is first place in our life. I said this 2 weeks ago. I said the rulers of darkness can't rule over you if you're in the light. Amen. And so our defense, our best defense, now in Ephesians 6, Paul is talking about our prayer armor and the truth of the Word in our prayers. Amen. And we'll be able to withstand in the evil day when we take up this shield and this sword of the Spirit. What are they? They're doctrines from the Word of God that give us strength when the enemy comes into our life. Amen. Colossians 1:13 tells us that Jesus delivered us from the power and the authority of the devil and of evil spirits who rule in the evil realm. Amen. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. The only place that the rulers of darkness aren't ruling on this earth is where light has come. I want to say it again. The only place where the rulers of darkness, the principalities and the powers and the evil spirits, the only place they're not ruling is where light has come. And what light? The light of education? Education has not changed this world one iota. Oh, it's made it easier for us to sin. It's given us all kinds of alternate thought, which is nothing more than doctrines of demons. Amen. But education really hasn't changed the human heart one iota. The light of science, has a light of science changed us? No, it hasn't changed us. We're still the same kind of people that we were before. I'm talking about the human situation has not changed. Now, things are a little easier physically, but it hasn't changed the heart of man. No, this is talking about the light of the gospel, the word of God. Amen. Believers are children of the light, the scripture says, not of darkness. And because we've been born again, we have the light of God. And so it's very important in this day and age where the demon spirits are ruling and reigning over this earth, it's very important for each one of us to seriously walk in the truth of the scripture that we know. And in any step out of the light, guess where it is? It's a step right into the darkness. And any step out of the light, any step away from the light in your life, no matter what it is an open door for the enemy to come and rule over you. Very serious thought. Very serious thought. Walking in the light of God's word ensures protection against Satan's evil. Amen. Now, the word says that believers are the children of God and the children of light, and that they're in the world, but they're not part of the world. That's what the word says. So we don't have to be ruled by the devil, but we can allow them to rule over us. I want to say it again. Christians can allow darkness to rule and reign over them if they're walking in the darkness rather than the light. Amen? So our sure foundation is this word of the living God and walking in the truth of the scripture. And if you find yourself sideways to the word of God, run back to the word. Repent. Ask God to forgive you. He will. And get back in the light again. Amen. The devil can also rule over us if we unknowingly, through our ignorance of God's word, willingly give him permission. I think of the name that the Lord gave us for our church, Fountain of Life. It comes from Proverbs chapter 13, verse 14. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life to depart the snares of death. Do you know there are snares that people are walking, people that you love right now, walking in snares? They don't know it's a snare. They don't see that it's a snare. But it's a snare that will lead them to their destruction. Unless the light of God's word causes them to get out of the pathway of snare and get on the pathway that leads to life. Now, I want to look at a contrast. I want to look at a contrast again of the kingdom of darkness and God's light. We're going to be living this same kind of contrast in our lives. In John chapter 8, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." The light of life. We don't walk in darkness. We don't run toward the darkness. We walk in the light of life. Amen. In John 12, yet a little while, verse 35, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knows not whither he goes. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. I mean, this sets the agenda for the Christian. Our walk is a walk of light. Amen. And it makes no difference what the world says about it. It makes no difference what the world thinks about it. It's when we walk in the truth of the scripture that we're protected from the darkness. Amen. And when we get just the least bit sideways, then our mind fogs up and things aren't as clear as they once were. I know some people that at one time were walking with Jesus, and they're walking with the devil today. people stronger than me. Don't you think about that statement? What happened? Little by little, they began thinking other thoughts than the Bible. The Bible talks about seducing spirits. See, the best place that we can be is in the middle of Scripture truth in our life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, can you say glory to God that the devil has no authority to rule over me? Amen. Amen. Can you say glory to God, I'm going to walk in the truth of the Scripture? Yeah. See, the truth is, it's our only defense, brother and sister. Okay, now that's enough of the recap. I want to remind you again that ours is a position because of what Jesus did. Because Jesus is seated and reigning with God, he's at the right hand of God the Father. Our position, I'm talking about Christians' position, is a place of authority. It's a place of honor, and it's a place of triumph. It's not a place of depression. It's not a place of deception. It's not a place of defeat. Since the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has triumphed victorious over the devil and his cohorts, we need not be moved by the darkness that's in this world. Now, if you look, sometimes it seems that there are so many believers that are subject to Satan and his deceptions. You've seen that. I've seen that. And whether or not believers are victorious over the devil depends primarily the view that they have, concerning the church. I want to say something to you, and I hope you're very serious to listen to what I'm about to say. Anything that makes light of the church is of the devil. Anything that makes light of your faithfulness to the church is of the devil. We don't see it for what it is. The church is the pillar of truth. The pillar of truth. Now, I'm not just talking about our fellowship. I'm talking about the church as a whole. The truth that's being dispensed in the name of Jesus. That's the only thing that's keeping this putrid world from going to hell. Don't make light of it. It's very important in our life. Amen. And Satan will do his very best to minimize it in importance in your life. Oh, not that big of a deal. But it is a big deal. Amen. You've heard me preach over the years that there's only one organization that God has set his hand of blessing upon. You want to know what that is? It's the church. It's not the Lions Club. Now, I'm not minimizing the work of the Lions Club and clubs like that. But God is the one that's building the church. Now, why is he building the church? Because out of it comes truth that sets people free. Amen. And so our victory over the devil depends on our view of this church that Jesus died for. Some people, they have an idea of a militant church, a fighting church, you know. Some people have an idea of a defeated church. We're nothing but just poor sinners. It's all we'll ever be. Barely getting ourselves saved. Barely. Yeah. Defeated church. But the scriptures teach about a triumphant church. See, the militant church depicts a body of believers that are not yet seated at the right hand of God, but we're already seated at the right hand of God. The defeated church gives us a picture of church that's ignorant of the fact that they're seated with Christ. They're supposed to be reigning, but they're not reigning in their life. And because of their ignorance, the ignorance that they have in their position, they never take the authority that is really theirs. But the triumphant church is the biblical perspective. of Christ seated at the right hand of God, and he is our representative, amen, far above all principalities, powers, mights, and dominion, amen. The triumphant church portrays from the scripture a body that not only know, but they exercise their authority on this earth. And therefore they reign victorious. I find it just quite amazing that in May I'm going to God and asking him for finances. And I guess this is July. He gave me more than I could even, well, you know, the thought was there, but I just didn't have the gumption to speak it out. You know what I mean? We serve a mighty God, brothers and sisters. But in our experience and in our attitude toward him, we don't live like what he really is. Most Christians really don't believe like the scripture portray him. Our view of him is really small. You don't have to amen me. But see, the truth is that when Jesus was raised from the dead, and he was raised far above all principalities, powers, and mights, he is in the throne. A man sits on the throne, the man God, Jesus. Amen. Our representative, the head of the church, our head. Amen. Well, in this day that we're living in, demon activity is increased. Did you know that? It's increased around the world. And it's vital for us to understand what the redemption that Jesus poured out his blood for. It's vital that we understand that our redemption gives us certain place of authority even on this earth. And we need to be fully convinced of that authority, because that's where our victory stems from. Praise the Lord. Taking our authority. Jesus has already won that for us. The only way that we can have confidence in our authority over the enemy is to know and walk in the light of truth, the truth of the written word of God. Can anybody say amen? Amen. Well, that was my introduction for today. All right. I want to talk a little bit about origins. The origin and fall of Satan, or Lucifer, as he was called. You know, it's really very clear in the scripture. He was called Lucifer before his expulsion and fall. He was called Satan after his expulsion and fall. And I also want to talk about demons and devils and evil spirits. I don't believe I've ever spoken about this specifically, this. I might have touched on it from time to time. The origin of demons, devils, and evil spirits is not so clear. But the origin of Satan and Lucifer is very clear in the scripture. Now, some Bible scholars believe that there were millions of years that elapsed between Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 1, and Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Millions of years. And some believe that there could have been an earthly kingdom before the creation that was recorded in Genesis chapter 1. And they use, let me just read for you in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Evil spirits that are here on earth could have been a part of that original kingdom, or so they say. Many Bible scholars agree that even before the flood, a pre-Adamic kingdom existed. And we know, because of archaeological studies, that we have dinosaurs and we have mammoths and we have all kinds of creatures that do not exist anymore on this earth. Where did they come from? Well, maybe this was a part of that that creation, some say, before Adam, some kind of pre-Adamic creation. In Isaiah chapter 14, we have a hint. Everybody say hint. A hint. We have a hint of the pre-Adamic kingdom. I want to share that with you. This is the only place that I can find where such a kingdom was even spoken of, okay? Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend to heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also among the mount of the congregation. I'm reading from Isaiah 14 and 12. Actually, now I'm in 13. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Now, what we can learn from this is that Lucifer had some kind of throne somewhere, and he had some kind of authority. And the scripture talks about, I will exalt my throne above the stars and the clouds. Evidently, he reigned somewhere below that, all right? And so there's an implication here that Lucifer's throne was just below the stars. If Lucifer's throne was below the stars, it could have encompassed and included the realm and the domain of the earth. It's possible that Lucifer ruled a kingdom here on this earth, which existed before Adam. The scripture is not dogmatic when it speaks about these things. It just speaks a brief little and it goes on. I want to say something to you about the scripture. I believe that everything we need to know is embodied in this book. Now, we don't know all of it, okay? But all that we need to know is here. I don't have to go to some other spurious book that was never accepted by the council of the churches. I don't have to do that. I don't have to read through those books that are not viewed by the church councils and authorities as being part of the canon of the scripture. The truth is, I bank on what Jesus spoke. You know, the truth is that in this book, the books that we have here in the Old Testament were specifically mentioned by Jesus Christ himself in the New Testament. Did you know that? Yeah. And the New Testament books are books from or related to known apostles, the apostles of the Lamb. You know, when you read, for example, the book of Mark, Mark was not the apostle of the Lamb, but he was a disciple of Peter. And so all these books were put together and are considered reliable and infallible truths of the Word of God. I don't need to go anywhere else. Now, you understand there were hundreds and thousands of books that were going around in those days. Did you know that? And that's where, you know, some of the books that are not considered part of the canon were known to be or thought to be okay. The Catholic Church adds some that is not accepted by Presbyterian or Protestant groups, Methodist groups. And so I said that to say this. I believe that everything that we need to know is right here. All right? And if it's not emphatic, we can't bank on it. We can conjecture. Oh, I wonder what that was like. I wonder what that was like in the beginning before Adam. We can... That's what I just did with some conjecture, okay? Where did they come from? Well, it could have been a pre-Adamic kingdom. We don't know. The only scripture that we have that even briefly gives you any kind of inkling of that is this scripture that I just read, where it talks about how art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations. Now, incidentally, I want you to know something, that if you listen to Satan in any way, it weakens you. If you listen to any doctrine that comes from a devil, it weakens. I find it very interesting that when I was a young believer, and when I say young believer, I mean we were just spirit-filled, and you've heard me talk about watching TV one morning about 5 o'clock, and there was this white-headed gentleman, and back in those days, I read anything and everything. And because I was just hungry, And so I'll come back to that. One time, Mike, a lady came up to us, and she gave me this little book written by the End Times Handmaiden. And what it was you can get a revelation if you'll fast for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, can you imagine what would happen to me if I fasted 40 days and 40 nights? Now, it didn't bother her. I won't say any more about that. Anyway, the only thing that Pastor Potts saw that from the back. This was after church. And I said, oh, thank you. I said, oh, thank you. And as soon as she left my presence, Pastor came up and said, now, I'm not telling you not to read that. He knew human nature, you know. It's like telling your kids, don't do this. What happens? You know what I'm saying? So now I'm not telling you not to read that, Ken, but I'd read it. If you're going to read it, I'd read it with a grain of salt. That was his way of saying to me, it's questionable. So I threw it away. I didn't read it. Now let me come back. Now I didn't realize it, but that was for my protection. What Pastor did there was for my protection. So anyway, coming back to when I was just a young man and I was just hungry, and this old gentleman had a Bible. Well, it looked like a Bible. Yeah. And he's preaching, and I'm listening, and I hadn't been listening 2 minutes, and all of a sudden I heard the voice of the Lord say, that is so and so. Caption came up on the screen. That's who it was. I'd never heard of this guy, never saw this guy before. All of a sudden I'm having a spiritual revelation here. That I'm telling you what, my full attention now was on this guy. That was, and he names this guy's name off. And then the caption pops up. Man, every hair on my head was, I knew I was hearing from God, Mike. I was hearing from God. Man, I was excited. And so I'm listening to this guy, and then I heard the voice of the Lord say, he's false. I turned that off faster than you can say scat. Yeah. And yet, you know something? We're so wide open with so-called truth. Hello, anyone out there? And we don't even know. The enemy is doing his best to infiltrate our minds. And so what's he going to do? He's going to get us to minimize this book. He's going to get us to minimize the importance of the church, the importance of reading your Bible, the importance of prayer. I want to say it one more time. Our main defense is to be right in the middle of truth. Hello, anyone out there? Amen. Amen. Weaken the nations. Anytime we listen to the devil, anytime we even mull in our mind the thought that the spirit of darkness or some demon puts in us, and someone says, well, how do you know? Well, how many of you know what a dollar bill looks like? Yeah. If you're well accustomed to a dollar bill, then when someone hands you something that is different, you know that's not real. Isn't that right? Amen. How many of you have ever noticed that in the fashion trade, they're doing their best to make knockoffs of different things? Yeah. Someone talked about receiving a Rolex watch for $10. It only ticked for about 10 minutes. And it was dead. He thought he had something, you know. Yeah. Yeah. That's the enemy. Yeah. Now, Satan may have ruled in his kingdom during this pre-Adamic time. See, we don't know for sure. It's just hinted of in the scripture. We can make all kinds of conjectures, but we can't be dogmatic about it. But there are some things that we can be dogmatic about. Amen. We can say with a certainty that the devil and demons are fallen beings, because that's what the Bible says they are. They've fallen from whatever estate that they once occupied. And the Bible does shed some light on the origins of Satan or Lucifer, as he was originally called. Where did Satan come from? Well, Isaiah 14 and 28 and Ezekiel 28 tell us, gives us a picture of Lucifer in his existence in the beginning, and as God originally created him. I want you to understand that when God created him, there was no evil in him. There was no evil in him when God created him. He was perfect in all his ways. Let me read to you what Ezekiel 28 says about him. Thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. You think we have bling. Every precious stone was his covering. Man, he looked good. He was shiny. The workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Now we figure something else out here real quick if we're listening to the Bible. He was a created being. He is not God. He was created by God. We are not God. We were created by God. And on the day that he was created, he was perfect in every way. Perfect in every way. Thou art, verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Can you imagine what kind of honor that would have been? That he was seated in the highest position under God. Amazing, amazing. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. Verse 16. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of the fire. Now again, this Bible passage is telling us that Lucifer was a created being, not a human being, but a created being. And God didn't create Lucifer as we know him now, after the expulsion and the fall from heaven. God created him perfect in all of his ways. Now here's another interesting thought about Lucifer, that he was originally created with music. You know, music is a dangerous thing. Did you ever stop and think about what music can do? Some of you remember when the Beatles made the comment that they were more popular than Jesus Christ. I remember that day. Because the whole world was running after the Beatles. I'm telling you what, girls would get around them and they'd faint and pass out. I thought they were an ugly lot. They'd get so excited they couldn't breathe. They'd pass out. That's something. Yeah, we don't understand that, do we? But when we see God, we'll pass out. Yeah. When they see God, they're definitely going to pass out. Yeah. God created Lucifer perfect in all of his ways, but the Bible also says that iniquity was found in him. Amen. Iniquity was found in him. We can be emphatic about these things. Now, this iniquity, what was his sin? Ezekiel 28 and 17 tells us, thine heart was lifted up. Thine heart was lifted up. I want to say it again. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. If I was to put this in our vernacular, it would be something like this. He thought he knew more than God. Yeah. And you know, a lot of people have followed that kind of thinking. Yeah. Roe v. Wade. You know what Roe v. Wade is? People thinking they know better than God. This new Supreme Court ruling, you want to know what it is? People believing that they know better than God. Amen. Of course, the sad truth is there are a lot of Christian people that have fallen for that stuff. Lucifer was lifted up in pride because of his great beauty. He wanted to become like God and ascend into heaven. Now, we want to become like God, but we're not trying to usurp God's authority. We want to be like him because we love him. Lucifer wanted to be like him for a different reason completely. He wanted to gain power over him. Yeah. The Bible talks about Lucifer's iniquity in Isaiah 14. And the scripture gives us five declarations that Lucifer speaks. Let me read them to you. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Now, you know, there's something that we can learn about this. Evidently, Lucifer was a free moral agent. That means he could decide. We've been given a free will. I don't always understand it. Sometimes I really think it would be better and easier if we didn't have that will. That will is wonderful when your children come up to you for no reason at all and say, Daddy, I love you so much. I'm telling you what, it'll bring tears to your eyes. Good tears. But that will, when in defiance, says, I don't want anything to do with you. That same will is the most hurtful thing. Yeah. And so here was this cherub that was perfect in all of his ways, and he willfully set himself against his creator. And then in Ezekiel chapter 28, I want you to notice that God responds to the five I wills of Lucifer. And here's what he says. Here's what he says. I'm in verse 16, chapter 28. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee out. I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled the sanctuaries, thy sanctuaries, by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. Do you know that we will see that day? We will see that day. Yeah. I want you to think about that. We got some cool days coming up when we'll see Jesus face to face. And when we see him, we'll be like he is. And then it's going to be a very cool day when we see our enemy, the enemy of God, cast in just nothing but pieces of ash right before us. We see Lucifer's expulsion and fall from heaven in these passages, and in some New Testament passages as well. I'm just going to read, "How thou art fallen from heaven," Isaiah 14, verse 12, "O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground which did weaken the nations?" Ezekiel 28, 16 and 17, "I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will cast thee to the ground." Luke chapter 10 and verse 18, Jesus said, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." What did he mean, as lightning falling from heaven? How fast does that happen? Boom! Yeah, not going to be much of a war. Boom, and he's in the belly of the earth. Yeah, we're talking about Satan right there. Amen. Now, in the Garden of Eden, we get a glimpse of Lucifer, or Satan, as he was called, after his expulsion and his fall from heaven. This passage reveals the nature of Satan and the character that he has after the fall. The Bible says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made." I'm reading from Genesis chapter 3:1. And once Eve told God, after the fall of man, then Eve told God that the serpent beguiled me. Everybody say beguiled. Beguiled. That's talking about his nature of deception. His nature of deception. Think about the enemy coming to Jesus, the Son of the living God, and saying, if you're the Son of God, you just make these stones into bread. He's twisting the scripture. Jesus is going to have none of it. And he quotes the scripture to the enemy. Amen. And defeats him. How does he defeat him? By quoting the scripture and rightly dividing the truth of the scripture. Amen. Now, talking about the nature of Satan, there are biblical names that are given from the scripture that reveal Satan's nature. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "Your adversary, the devil, walks about seeking whom he may desire. Your adversary, do you know the second that Elizabeth was born onto this earth, she had no idea to know it, but she has an adversary. Michael, you have an adversary. It's not flesh and blood. I have an adversary. There's somebody that hates us with an unholy passion. Every one of us. He's our adversary." Yeah. Jesus said this, "The thief comes not before to kill, steal, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." The thief. It's giving us a look at what his nature. He steals from us. Ultimately, he wants to kill us. If he can't kill us, if he can't kill us, he's just wanting to minimize us to nothing. I've watched young Christian girls listening to the enemy and end up sidelined in their faith. Brought them to nothing. God will never do that. What does God do? "I've come that you might have life and have it more abundant." He wants us to have abundance in our life. I have good friends that are in the belly of the earth right now. Well, I need to change that. They've died. gifted people. Gifted people. Looked like for a while they were doing 100. They were doing good, you know. And they lost their life. You want to know why? Because there was a thief that was at work and they didn't even know it. Yeah. Jesus talked, speaking of the scribes and the Pharisees, he said, "You are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He is a liar and the father of it." When he's flapping his lips, he's telling lies. When he's flapping his lips, he's telling lies. Yeah. Revelations 12 talks about the accuser of the brethren. Accuser. What does he want to do in our lives? He wants to accuse us. Please, please listen to your pastor. Don't be an accuser of anybody. The Bible says love covers the multitude of sin. Now, we don't deny that there's sin, right? Even in the church. You know, I hear from time to time. I know about most of you. And sooner or later, if I don't know, the Lord will see to it that I do know. I know more than I ever tell you. But you know what? I'm not going to accuse you. I'm not the gospel gunslinger out to shoot anybody that's not living the life. You know what I am doing? I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. I want abundance in your life. Amen. And anybody that truly loves you, they want the same thing. And of course, we learned that from our leader, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Remember what he said to that woman who was up to her eyeballs in the sin lifestyle? He said, "Woman, where are your accusers?" He wasn't going to accuse her. He had a right to. Right? Yeah. Amen. She said, "There's no man, Lord." And he said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." That he was giving her the answer. Yeah. Amen. The accuser of the brethren. Revelations 12 and 9. That great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil or Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Yeah. The deceiver. The deceiver. He deceives the whole world. Amen. Second Corinthians chapter 11. Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He's a deceiver. He's not an angel of light, but he can look like one. Yeah. I remember studying... I remember studying the from the writings of Smith, the one that started the Mormon Church. Joseph Smith, thank you. Yeah. Did you know that an angel appeared to him? Do you know what he called that angel? An angel of light. Isn't that interesting? Not the light. I said, not the light. Amen. Amen. How do you know it? This is the only book we need. We don't need anything else. This is the pillar of truth right here. Amen. And the Apostle Paul said, even if an angel preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. You know, those are strong words. Why so strong? Because he understood that the deceiving quality of Satan. That's why. Amen. Angel of light. Well, from the book of John. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the prince of this world will be cast out. John chapter 12, verse 31. 14, verse 30. 16, verse 8. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. In times past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. I want to say something about that. according to the course of this world. What is common and natural to the world? The Bible says that that whatever it is being controlled by the prince of the power of the air. Amen. The spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Did you catch that? Children of disobedience. Oh, they may look good. They may even be pretty in the flesh. But it doesn't take away from the fact that if we're flowing with the course of this world, we're being controlled by the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Now, if people understood that Satan is the god of this world, little g god, it would clear up a lot of confusion in people's lives. Some people are so taken up with evil that they think that the universe is basically evil instead of good. Some people have accused God of being the author and the creator of evil. God never created evil. No. There was an article some years ago written by a well-known newspaper man in America. He said, I'm not religiously inclined. I don't belong to any church, never have. I don't believe that the Bible is the Word of God. And I don't know if God exists or not. But in his article, he went on to say, Christians say there is a God who created everything and that God is running this universe. Logically speaking, it would seem a supreme being did create the universe. But if God is the ruler of this universe and he's running everything, he surely has everything in a mess. Why doesn't he put a stop to war and poverty and innocent babies dying? You see, he was trying to understand why a good God ruling in the world would allow evil to exist. And this newspaper columnist, he had only heard one side of the argument. He didn't know what the Word of God had to say about it. Had he known and believed the Bible, he would have known that God made the world in the beginning and everything in it was good. Amen. And that God had given dominion over into the hands of men. And men sold that dominion off to God's enemy, Satan. Yeah. So he would have known, if he'd been reading a scripture, he would have known Psalms 8, where Psalms 8 says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou hast visitest him? You've made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. You made him to have dominion over the works of thine hands and hast put all things under his feet. Yeah. Had he known the Bible, he would have had a little more understanding. Yeah. That in the beginning, Adam had dominion of the world, and he gave that dominion over to our arch enemy, Satan. Yeah. And from that moment on, sin and death came into this earth. Sin and death is our enemy. Say it out loud. Sin and death is our enemy. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yeah. And even though Adam and Eve didn't die physically, just exactly what God said would happen if they ate from the wrong tree. Thou shalt surely die. And they died spiritually. And the generations after them. Yeah. And the Bible substantiates the fact that Adam sold his dominion off through disobedience. Yeah. Yeah. And the Bible substantiates the fact that Jesus came into the world for the purpose of tasting death for every man. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I'm not done, but I need to stop there. I do want to go to one other scripture before we stop, because I don't want to leave you on the dark side. I want to leave you on the light side, all right? Philippians chapter 2, will you turn there with me? Amen. Praise the Lord. We've been talking about the bad news of the world, right there. Anything that's ever happened that's in the newspapers, I'm telling you who the author of it is, the spirit of darkness, all right? And we can live on this earth free from all of that if we'll walk in the light and keep ourselves in the light. And when we miss it, run to God and repent of your sin and accept his mercy. Amen. You'll find yourself right back in the light again. Amen. Where did I tell you to go? Philippians, thank you. All right, I'll get there. I'm almost there. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, when we talk about this, let this mind be in you, most of the time we talk about humbling ourselves. Philippians chapter 2, humbling ourselves. But you know, there's a lot of stuff about Jesus in these verses, more than just humbling ourselves to him, all right? Yes, we're going to humble ourselves to the Lord. Amen. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he'll lift you up. Praise the Lord. But we need to think like Jesus thinks. Now, how does Jesus think? Well, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself no reputation, and took upon him the form of the servant, was made in the likeness of men. He's saying this, since we are children of God, we don't use that to gain authority over one another. We humble ourselves. We live like Jesus lived on this earth. He became the servant. Amen. You know, the truth is, if I don't know why I'm picking on Daniel, but I'm going to. If Daniel truly loves his mother, he will make her life easy. Ethan, if you truly love your mother, you will make her life as easy as you possibly can. I won't just pick on you. Elizabeth? Now here's our problem. Children, we think that mom and dad serve us. No, 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 no. As you mature, you begin to take your place in the family. Well, I got a job. Everybody's got a job, but you still have your place in the family. Are you going to humble yourself? You know, when mom says, I don't know why I'm saying this. When mom says, take out the garbage, Isaac. And Isaac begins to complain. Isaac needs to remember that God has called him to serve. God's called you to serve. Yeah. He really wishes I didn't name his name right now. Take out the God, I want to serve you. I want to follow you. I want to do your will, Lord. Okay. Take out the garbage, Isaac. Amen. Yeah. Jesus humbled himself and he became a servant. That means if Kaylin really loves her mother, she will make her life easier. If mom's working, Kaylin's going to say, if she really loves her mother, well, mom, let me help you. And she puts that pad down. Is it a pad? Close enough? All right, thank you. Yeah. And she's going to help her do the dishes, help her clean, and not complain. Yeah. I should have preached this 25 years ago. Yeah, and not complain. Now, this is not my main thought, you know. I'm trying to wind down here. The kids are really praying for me to wind down now. Yeah. I know. Yeah. So let this mind be in you, Daniel. You thought I forgot you. Who being in the form of God, you know, you are a good-looking young man. You growing up, you looking really tough. Yeah. Now that you're tough and looking good, you honor your father and your mother. You love them because you'd be nothing without them. It's the truth. Yeah. I don't know why Colleen is laughing. Evidently, she thinks that just because she's in her 20s that she shouldn't do that. No, surely not. All right, good girl, good girl, good girl. Amen. Yeah. Now, we're thinking like Jesus. Notice what he says here. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore? Now, we're still thinking about God here and what it, and how thinking his thoughts will change us, all right? Wherefore, God has highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. Now, when you're dealing with darkness, the spirit of darkness, do you cringe? Do you run? No, here's what you do. Here's what you do. You take your authority. Amen. You take your authority. Who is authority over Satan? Glory to God, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you have authority over Satan. Now, you thought I was going to say Jesus. If you're going to think like Jesus, you have the authority over Satan. And when the enemy comes in and tries to make some kind of inroad in your life, you take your authority over him. Amen. And when you hear some lying thought that's coming, you know, they're usually stupid thoughts. Stupid lying thoughts. Yeah. They're usually stupid lying thoughts. You're going to have to take your place. You're going to have to stand up and say, no, in Jesus' name, that's not according to the Bible. This is what the Word says. And in doing so, you're thinking just like Jesus. Amen. We'll continue this on. I thought I was going to be done today. I'm not going to be done today. I'm preaching really slow. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
I just had a word of confirmation about pastors preaching. Sometimes God will speak to us. He talked about speaking to us through the Spirit. And then sometimes through your pastor. Most of the time it will be through the Word. And it'll be because you put the Word in your heart and in your mind that you're going to hear God's direction on that. We just need to be really vigilant, really diligent. It's so easy to hear from the world and the enemy. And we have to know that we are in a battle, and that there's things going on in the spirit all the time. And so he's given us the tools that he's given us so that we can fight the battle and be victorious. He's already said we're victorious, but be victorious over the enemy and not be sucked into the darkness. I turned over to a program the other day, and it just seemed to be so nice. You know, I mean. I thought there was two guys on there, and they were climbing this mountain, and I thought that I recognized the one guy. I don't pay attention to actors' names a lot of times and stuff, and so I thought, well, maybe that was him, but I wasn't sure, and it was just kind of a reality kind of thing. The guide was taking this guy up the mountain, and, you know, it was beautiful scenery and everything, and they're just talking, nothing's going on or anything. Well, they take a break on the mountain, you know, and it's kind of neat to watch them climb this mountain, and this guy has never climbed a mountain before, so, but they take a break, and all of a sudden, they're talking about how when he came out, and about the fact that he's gay, and about the fact that, you know, when he talked to his father, and how that, you know, it was hard for his father when he came out, and all this stuff. I'm thinking, this is the devil's agenda. This was a nice little program, a beautiful scenery and everything, and all of a sudden, they're preaching the devil's agenda to you. And are you going to sit and listen to it and think, oh, well, look at this. He's doing a guy thing, and he's, you know, and this, he must be okay. You know, are you going to listen to that? Are you going to say, you know what? I know what Scripture has to say about this. I know what God has to say about this, you know, and turn it off. Because they're going to make you think it's nice and, well, maybe this is okay. And maybe God even is okay with this. And the Word says He's not. So every moment we need to be thinking about, and it's not out of fear, it's out of wisdom. It's because God has said, this is the way it is. This is what I have said about it. And you're going to either side in with God or you're going to side in with the enemy, and you're going to find yourself either standing in light because you chose to stand that way, or you're going to find yourself standing in darkness. And it's so subtle, subtle that if you're not vigilant, you'll be sucked into that. And you'll think, well, how did I get here? You know, and you'll find yourself saying things are okay when God says it's not. Mm-hmm. And so we have to be very diligent, very vigilant. And, you know, God will speak to us. It's our choosing. Are we going to listen? Are we going to stand in the light? Or are we going to be swayed by the darkness?
I was looking back the other day on some things in my own life. And there's times for all of us when the Lord will tell us to do something and we don't know why. We don't have an understanding of, why do you want me to do it that way? And of course, in looking back on that, I saw some times it seemed rather hard, seemed rather narrow, and I didn't understand. And I didn't have the understanding of the scriptures behind me to understand why He was telling me to do that. Well, I went ahead and obeyed Him, and now I'm a lot farther down the road, and I can see and I understand the whys of those issues. And sometimes the Lord will tell us to do something and not give us an explanation. And later on, then we'll get the understanding of it. Well, I think that's exactly where our society is today. They're not willing to obey just because this is right. And they don't have any wisdom or experience to show them why it is right. And so they're open to almost anything now because they've disregarded the Word of God, you know? And you want to know the sad truth is? There are Christians that follow in that same area. And because we don't want to be judged narrow, we might seem to lean. We don't know it's leaning away from the Scripture and away from God, but that's exactly what it is. The Bible tells us that we're not supposed to sit in the seat of the scornful, right? Yeah. That same verse tells us we're not supposed to stand with them or sit with them, right? What'd you say? Or listen to their counsel, yeah. And that seems rather, what's the word everyone likes to put on us? Narrow. Let me tell you something. I'm proud that I'm narrow in God. Yeah. I'm proud. That's not the right word. I'm pleased. I'm pleased that I am narrow. Someone says, well, you got blinders on. Yes, I do. Yeah. God is the one with the reins. I don't need to see where He's leading me to see. Right? Right? And so don't let the enemy deceive you and subtly push you toward his agenda. If it says something in the Word, it's the Word. Don't disregard it. Don't minimize it. Trust it. Whether you have understanding of it or not, trust it because it's the Word of the living God. Amen? There's never been anything that God's ever said or ever put in His book that is there to hurt you. Yeah. It's like your mother. If your mother tells you to do something, do it. Yeah. Yeah. And learn how to do it without asking why. Well, why? Well, the real answer is because mom's smarter than you are. Yeah. Yes. Adults too. Yes. Adults too. Yes. I know, we've all grumbled. I know we have. Yeah. Amen. Any rate, yes, sir.
It's amazing how we'll believe everyone but God.
It's amazing how we'll believe anyone else. Now, he didn't say else, but I added that, but God. Yeah. The doctor said, well, what does the Bible say? Yeah. What does the Bible say? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My professor said, who's your professor? Huh? Right? Amen. Well, enough of that. Praise the Lord. We're talking about not being deceived. The answer to our freedom is always being in the middle of truth in our life. So make that your import. Make that your life. Being in the middle of the truth of the Word of God. When you find yourself to the right or to the left, you correct yourself. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And our God is so gracious. He's not going to beat us up because we're wrong. I don't know how many times I've lost count how many times I've been wrong. And I go to God and he said, yep, you were wrong. I said one time to the Lord, God, I must have been wrong. He said, you think? That's how he talks to me. You think? Yeah. At any rate, it doesn't bother him that we're wrong. What bothers him is when we won't listen. Yes. Yeah. And so we humble ourselves to him, and he pours out his mercy and his grace, and he treats us like sin never existed in our life. Glory be to God. He loves us. He wants abundance in our life. Amen. Well, let me pray for you, and we'll be dismissed. I'm grateful, Father, for your goodness and your mercy. I'm grateful, Lord, that you're leading us and guide us in your truths. I'm grateful, Father, that we have children and adults, your children, Lord. Every one of us are people who hear truth and do truth to the best of our ability. And I thank you, Lord, that right down the middle road of the Word of God is where our safety is. We thank you for our safety and our peace. We thank you for your blessing. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, you can stand up and hug somebody. You're dismissed. Pray.